Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship service here at Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee. It's a cold morning in Johnson City, as I'm sure you know, but we're here in a warm auditorium, and our hearts are gladdened and warmed by being together and worshiped, to worship our Heavenly Father. So we're glad we're all together for that, and we're looking forward to engaging our songs in praise of Him. As we get ready to enter our worship period, I want to share with you Psalm 100. This is always a good way to begin a worship service. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pastures. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Let's praise God.
Good morning.
The Lord is in His
and glorify thy name. Ms. Gavinia, would you stand as we sing? seated. We'll sing till the storm passes by, and then they'll open with a word of prayer. Pray together. Father, we're mindful of all the stuff that is going on in the world,
And we remember Jesus' words about wars and rumors of wars always being a part of our lives. It doesn't make us feel safe. We think about all the bad stuff that's going on, and we long for the hollow of your hand where we know we'll be safe. While we're here on earth, help us help the helpless. Let us pray for peace. Let us all dedicate ourselves to being peacemakers like your Son and living and walking in a way of peace. May we ever glorify your Son and you by the way that we live. For it's your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Before the sermon this morning, let's sing Love One Another.
Those that have got young children and want to take them to training class, you can go ahead and exit the auditorium. We'll give you a minute to do that. Scripture reading this morning before the lesson that Tim's bringing us, Psalms 39, 1 through 3. I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with the muzzle so long as the wicked are in my presence. I will mute and silence. I held my peace to no avail and my distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue.
The passage that John read this morning from Psalm 100 is a beautiful psalm. Did you notice the phrase toward the end? For the Lord is good. That's one of my favorite parts. Often we hear about natural disasters like wildfires or earthquakes, tornadoes, things like that. And insurance companies will call those acts of God. I beg to differ. I see the act of God in what happens in the aftermath when people rush to aid the victims of those natural disasters. And it happens. We've seen it right here at Central just in less than a week last week when you were given the opportunity to contribute toward the relief of the Ukrainians. Almost $14,000 in less than a week was given, and that will soon be sent to a church in Alabama that is working closely with that situation. And that kind of outpouring happens all over the world. There are people everywhere moved by the love of God. And that's the God we've come together to worship this morning. Not the God that destroys and makes life difficult. No, God makes life better. And we are here to honor Him and to worship Him, and to try to become more like Him. And we're so glad that you are here with us today. We have a good number with us today. We're thankful that you are here with us today. We have visitors, and we're thankful you have come. And if we can help in any way, please let us know what we can do, and we'll do our very best to help you. And we know we also have many online watching and listening, and we're always thankful that you are there. And we're, again, if we can help you in any way, just let us know what that might be, and we will do all that we can. But it is so good to be together. Now that we're mostly maskless, look around and flex those smile muscles. Do that. Flex your smile muscles. And it feels good, doesn't it? You've not forgotten how to do it yet. So make good use of those muscles today, and let's leave here feeling pumped up. I already do. Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. And at that time, we're going to finish a series that we started last month on unbelief. And this is all based on the book of Numbers. We've talked about unbelief arising out of fear, unbelief arising out of pride. And tonight, we're going to talk about unbelief out of anger. And I really hope you can join us for that. Come out and be here in the building if you can. If that's not possible, then join us online. But let's praise God together. Let's study His word more and do all we can to be His people. Now let's open our Bibles. I hope you've got yours opened already and ready to get into the word and learn things that will make us better people. May the 11th, 1985. There was a fire in Bradford City, England. We may not have heard about it since we're across the pond, as they say. But there was a soccer stadium in Bradford City, England, where about 11,000 people were gathered to watch a game. Well, along the way in that gathering, there was a fire that broke out in the main stand of the stadium. And in the process, 56 people died and 265 were injured, a tragedy. And as it was reported, it was all because of a cigarette that was dropped, not intentionally. Somebody was trying to put it out, stomp it out with their foot, and yet it slipped through the floorboards of the stadium onto a lot of dead grass and garbage that was piled up underneath. And within 5 minutes, it was out of control. The person that dropped the cigarette was not named in the stories that I looked at, And they shouldn't be, probably, because that was never what they thought would happen. I mean, careless, perhaps, we might say that. But they would never have done something like that if they had just thought more about how to do it safely, perhaps. We know about those kinds of things. In 2016, in November of that year, in Gatlinburg, nearby, there was a fire that broke out and 14 lives were lost as a result of that, 190 injuries. It happens quickly. And most of us recognize there is a problem here. Fire can easily get out of control, and we try to be careful, but there's another area of life where there can be a raging, destructive fire, so to speak. Are we as careful about preventing that? Let's look at what God's Word says, because this is something that is addressed in the Word of God. Let's start out by talking about flaming tongues. Flaming tongues. I know what some of you are thinking already. He's talking about lunch today. We're going to go get some Buffalo Wild Wings, and that's going to cause our tongues to flare up and flame. Or maybe it's Nashville hot chicken or something like that. A lot of people seem to like that really spicy food. Me, not so much. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our tongues actually being the source of the flame. Not the result, but the source. And that's something we find in the Word of God. Let's look again at the psalm that was read to us just a few moments ago. Psalm 39, verses 1 through 3. And listen again to what John read to us there. Psalm 39, verses 1 through 3. David is attributed as the author. We don't know the background to it, but listen to what he says. I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. David was aware. I can sin with my tongue. It is something that I need to be on guard against. And so he said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle so long as the wicked are in my presence. I was mute and silent. I held my peace to no avail, and my distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. As I mused, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Now, he doesn't elaborate on what happened after that, but we can imagine it may have took a lot of restraint. It may have required that he really be careful about what he say, because we've all been down that road, haven't we? We've gotten angry about something, and before we knew it, we were saying something that we later regretted. We wish we hadn't said it, but we did. And so in this case, David said, it's like my heart was hot in me. There was a fire burning in me. I just had to speak out. I had to say something. And that's not the only time this imagery is found. Go to Proverbs 15 and verse 1. This is one of the more familiar Proverbs, and no doubt we have heard it a number of times, but it's still hard to follow. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And in my mind, I have this picture of a campfire or a fire in a fireplace. And the flames have died down. You don't see the flames now, but you can tell there are still some glowing embers there. And so you get out a stick of some kind, a poker, and you start stirring it, and the flames resume. And that's kind of what he's saying there. By my words, I can stir things up, and I can make things worse. But sometimes we don't care, do we? Sometimes we just have to vent, get it out, regardless of the consequences. The Bible says it can be destructive, just like a raging fire. Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26, look at verses 20 and 21. And now we're not talking so much about words spoken in anger, but words because we just like a good story. We like something a little juicy, a little scandalous. Here's what it says in Proverbs 26, verse 20. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And everybody said, well, of course, we know that. Well, here's the application. Where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. And the whisperer here is someone that just likes to stir things up. They've heard something about a situation. They've got to tell somebody. They pass it on. And as a result, the fire flares up. Verse 21, as charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. And there are people like that. And maybe there are some among us right now that just get into that. I heard something about somebody. I can't wait until I can tell somebody else. Or here's something that happened. I've got to get out there and tell others about it. That's the situation he's describing there. And if there's no wood, there's not going to be any fire. If there's no whisperer, the quarrel ceases. Now let's go to James chapter 3. This is probably the passage we best know about the problems associated with the tongue. And first of all, in James 3, we're going to look at this idea that the tongue can be like a raging, destructive fire. Here's what he says in James 3. First of all, verses 2 through 5. We all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Do you see what he's saying? It's not that James is saying there are some perfect people out there. James is saying we all struggle with this problem, how to best use our words and not using words in inappropriate situations, not saying some words at all. We all struggle with this, he says. And now look at verse 3. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. And you may be thinking, wait a minute, he's gotten off the subject. No, he hasn't. He's giving us, again, analogies. These are small things, relatively speaking. The bit in the horse's mouth is not the size of the horse. It's not even close to the size of the horse, and yet it directs where that horse is going to go. And so it is with the rudder of a ship as well. It's relatively small. And so now the application he goes on to give in verse 5, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. And the idea is it will turn the direction of events. Maybe life was peaceful. And then somebody steps up and says, you know what I've heard? Or you know how I feel? Let me tell you how I feel. And it changes the course of what is happening. It steers things in a different direction. And it's not good, James is saying. We all struggle to control our tongues. At least most do. Some people don't seem to try to control them at all. But James says, look at what it can do. And now when we look at the latter part of verse 5 and verse 6, again, look at the image. The image is very obvious now. He says, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. I mean, it was just a small cigarette in that place in England. And it only takes a match in a forest. See how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. That's some significant statements that James has made about our words. It's not the physical organ he's really thinking about. It's what we do with that physical organ, the kinds of words that we speak, the situations in which we speak. We just are careless. We don't mean for great damage to result, but it does because we've not been careful. And don't miss that last part of verse 6 where he says, set on fire by hell. Again, he's not talking about a literal fire. He's saying that the destruction that can come as a result of our tongues is a result of hell. The one who is the master of hell, Satan. That's what he desires. that we hurt one another and bring about as much destruction as possible. There are so many scriptures that talk about this idea that the tongue can be very destructive. And yet, do we focus on it? Do we think about it when it comes to me? You may remember the old cartoons, Coyote, Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. And how many times do we remember seeing him somehow land in a dark spot, and he wants to know, where am I? And he lights a match, and of course you know what's going to be in there. It is a packed place with TNT, dynamite, and too late, it's already, the match has been struck, and kaboom, there he goes. Well, he always recovers. It's not something I would recommend you try. But if he had known that that was in that shed, do you think he would have lit the match? He's smart enough. He's wily, by the way. He's smart enough. He would not have done that. And yet, sometimes we know that we are in the midst of a volatile situation, and we light the match anyway. Does it surprise you that it exploded? Does it surprise you that there was great damage that resulted? Think. That's what James is telling us to do. Think before you speak. Well, let's talk about the damage that can be caused by flaming tongues. Again, the Bible is very clear on this. You may remember when you were a child, there was an old saying that we would say, a kind of a nursery rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And we would say that when somebody was taunting us, calling us names, saying that their basketball team had beaten our basketball team. Doesn't hurt me. All right, it's done. We're through with that subject, right? But you know what? Words do hurt. They do great damage despite what we chant. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible acknowledges that. Think about what we see in Esther, chapter 3 and verse 8. Esther, chapter 3 and verse 8. Here is a man named Haman, a very powerful man. In fact, it appears he's about second to the king of this Persian empire. And listen to what he says to the king on this occasion, King Ahasuerus. Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the province of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of every other nation, and they do not keep the king's laws, so that it is not the king's profit to tolerate them." Now, Haman was talking about the Jews. He was lying, because they did keep the laws of the king of Persia to the extent they were able, and their laws were not harmful to mankind, as Haman suggests, but he had a purpose. He had a motive. I want to get rid of Mordecai, and I want to get rid of all of his people, the Jews. He was talking genocide. And because of his words, it sparked what could have been devastation. Now, it was devastation for the people that were against Israel, because God worked against Haman and that plot that had been placed. And in the end, more than 80,000 of the enemies of Israel were killed. But you see the destruction that was brought about by words. If Haman had not spoken those words to the king, those things would not have happened. And can we not say that about most wars that occur on earth, where there is great devastation? Were they not the result of words that were spoken among people? Words that also could have resolved the issue without gunfire, without any problems. And yet, it turned into something horrible. So in the case of Haman, you see, this is a very terrible thing. Words is what got it all started. Let's go back to James chapter 3 one more time. James chapter 3, and look at verses 8 through 12. Because most of us would say, well, I'm not going to start a war where people are firing guns at each other and dropping bombs. But you can still do damaging things with your tongue. That's what James says. James 3, verses 8 through 12. James says here, "No human being can tame the tongue. Now let that soak in for a minute. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. The tongue is full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth the same from the same opening, both fresh and salt water? The obvious answer is no. Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. What's his point? If the words coming out of our mouths are destructive, we've got a heart problem. We've got a heart problem. Because a good heart would not emit those kinds of words. James is saying, look at the damage that can be done. I mean, we bless God, and yet we are cursing people made in the image of God. It's not what it ought to be. These things ought not to be so, James says. And that's how we ought to look at it as well. Go with me now to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. There's actually several things in this passage concerning the tongue. I'm only going to focus on verse 29, though. Ephesians 4, verse 29, where Paul says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Now, what does he mean when he says corrupting talk? Exactly what did Paul mean? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, Christians. Here's what John Stott says in his comments on this passage. Sapros, a word used of rotten trees and rotten fruit. When applied to rotten talk, whether this is dishonest, unkind, or vulgar, we may be sure that in some way it hurts the hearers. If we are truly a new creation of God, we shall undoubtedly develop new standards of conversation. Instead of hurting people with our words, we shall want to use them to help, encourage, cheer, comfort, and stimulate them. Let me read that last line again. If we are truly a new creation of God, we shall undoubtedly develop new standards of conversation. Instead of hurting people with our words, we shall want to use them to help, encourage, cheer, comfort, and stimulate them. So the question becomes, am I a new creation in Christ? Or am I still the old person I was before I came to Christ? Psalm 15. Psalm 15, verses 1 through 3. And let's consider again what wisdom says from long ago. Here, David was asking the question, who can abide with God? I mean, that's a big question. That's something all of us want. Ultimately, we want to dwell with God in heaven. And so this question really is of great relevance to us. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. And in verse 3 there, if you notice, there's two things that directly relate to the tongue. Slander and those who take up a reproach against a friend. I like the way the New Living Translation translates verse 3. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. And what are we talking about? People that will not dwell on God's holy hill. If you engage in these kinds of things, no, you won't be there. God says, this is not my life. You're living somebody else's life, not mine. So we need to carefully examine ourselves and make sure these things do not have a part in our lives. We've all seen Smokey the Bear. He's been a symbol for, I believe, 75 years now for the National Forest Service and their attempts to keep wildfires under control. You know, let's not have any more than we absolutely have to have. And as Smokey will say, only you can prevent wildfires, meaning be careful. If you're building a campfire, do it the right way. If you're smoking, which I hope you're not doing, be careful with that cigarette or whatever it is. Be careful. Don't be careless. And isn't that what we're talking about with our tongues? In fact, let's listen to Jesus in Matthew 12, 36 and 37. This is Jesus now, our Lord, telling us something we need to hear. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. On the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Does it matter what I say? Very much. That's just me. I didn't really intend to do any harm. Well, you should have been more careful. And that's what God is saying. Think before you speak. Have the mind of Christ. Let Christ recondition, renew our hearts, making it less likely that those words will ever come out of our mouths anyway. So yes, sticks and stones can break my bones, and words will absolutely hurt me. We can break a person's confidence. We can leave them feeling as if they are of little, if any, worth. Some have even been driven to take their own lives because of verbal bullying. These things ought not to be so, especially among Christians. Here's the standard, and we'll close with this. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. This is the standard for you and me, followers of Christ. Let your speech always, always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Seasoned with salt means I allow Christ to condition, to flavor every word I speak. I want to be careful what I say and only say those things that will build up and never things that will tear down. Let's look at ourselves through the mirror of God's word. Let's be honest about what we see. And when we see something that needs correcting, let's be diligent and correct it with God's help. Are you a Christian? That's where you need to begin. If you're not yet a Christian, that opens up all of God's help, all of the blessings. And today, if you're not a child of God, confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son. Turn away from sin, repenting of it. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and walk in the light as He is in the light. And if you've done those things, have you been faithful? Or is there something in your life that needs forgiveness? We'll pray with you if you'll tell us. You don't have to go into detail. If it's publicly known, maybe we need to tell some detail. But whatever your need is, we're here to help. We're not here to judge. We're trying to help each other get to heaven. So if we can help you, please come as we stand and sing.
I am so glad.
Please be seated. As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing "Lead Me to Calvary."
I'll be reading from Matthew 26, 26 through 29. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, "Drink from it all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let us pray. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, as we gather around your table, we want to give thanks for your Son, who came to this world and gave his body for the remission of sins. And it was as we partake of this bread, which is a symbol of your Son's body, let us remember his sacrifice, and that eating of this bread with a clean and pure heart. Amen. continue in prayer. Father, we continue our prayer for this blood which your Son shed for the washing away of our sins and making us pure at heart. As we partake of this fruit of the vine, which represents your Son's shed blood, we pray that this is done with a clear conscience and is pleasing in your sight. This is our prayer in your Son's blessed name. Amen. This is a convenient time set aside for us to give back as we have prospered. There's several different options or opportunities. There's baskets in the back of the auditorium, and it can also be done online. Let us pray. Father, you have so richly blessed each of us. The blessings are way too numerous to count, and we are very thankful for all of them. We pray that with our giving, your word can continue to be shared and your work can be continued throughout the world. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you strengthen us, that you increase our faith, that you bless us as we depart this place and go our separate ways. We ask that your light shine in our hearts now and always. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.